The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome in, weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. You can find us and follow us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. What a week for Nebraska football. What a week for Scott Frost. Signing day 2019. And while no Floridians, Nebraska did extremely well in SEC country. They did well in the Big Ten footprint. Most importantly, they did it, and they did it well to the tune of 5-for-5 in the good life.
That's right.
They did well in the state of Nebraska. Kranak, that's not been the norm the last few years, but it has been the fan base expectation. You win in Lincoln, you win at Nebraska, and you win with Nebraska kids. It's been done before.
At least partially.
Right.
You know? At least partially, and that finally came true. By the way, I was looking through, so what, is it 15 states or 16?
15.
I don't know, it would take a long time to kind of go through each and every football program to see.
How diverse
they are. That's got to be the top.
The most diverse group.
There can't be another one there can't be another school that has 16 states represented, or 50, right? Like, that's abnormally high.
I think that's pretty up there.
You know, Ohio State wouldn't have that. You know, Florida State. You know, like the bulk. It seems like, I mean, most programs that get the bulk of their kids from nearby states or in their state,
kind of a tri-city area.
You know, Georgia's not going to have that. Maybe Boise or something like that, because they just kind of pluck people from wherever.
They go mine California though.
Yeah,
I mean, most of their kids come from California.
That's got to be. That's a thing. So
it
like,
is.
So Nebraska's kind of like
a nice
the,
little blueprint.
Yeah. Like, why not? I mean, you're sort of like America's team at that point. Right. Oh, wait, that was a Riley thing. Damn it.
How you been? What'd you think this week?
You know, I thought Nebraska is getting tall. Very tall. That's now, when Chinander came in, speaking defensively especially. Remember when Chinander came in and you're asking, you know, what do you like on defense? What are you trying to do? And one of the first things he mentions is length.
Length. Yep.
But till then, how often had you heard that about a defense? Like, you just kind of don't. You're like, oh, really? Length. Okay, what, are you running a 2-3 zone, dude? What are you doing?
The old Syracuse 1-3-1.
But listen to this. Last two classes, defensive line, Wildeman 6'6", Alston 6'5", Rogers 6'5". Then this class, Banks 6'7", Newsom 6'5", Robinson 6'6". Before long, you are going to have a defensive line where you have no choice but to have these, like, trees. And then you look at the defensive backfield even. The small guy of the last two classes is Deontay Williams at 6 foot. But he's a missile playmaker, so whatever. Taylor, 6'1". Clark, 6'3". C.J. Smith, 6'3". Newsom, 6'2". Javon Wright, 6'3". Miles Farmer, 6'3". You might end up, and then you put them in Duvall's program. It's weird. You know, we had talked about it when Frost first got here, Chris, where it was like, hey, you know, he's going to be all about speed, and can this speed, quick tempo offense and program work in the Big Ten?
Offense can.
But he is not choosing speed over size.
You know what I
think? He's saying, actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have both. We're going to be faster than everybody and bigger than everybody. And you're like, all right, good luck, man. I hope you can pull that off, because that is clearly what they are building right now.
I think there's a bit of a throwback going in. And what I mean by that is, you know the story, and Coach McBride's told it to us many times on Hail Varsity, where they shifted to the 4-3. Okay.
Yep.
And what did they do? They went inside out. Okay. They got speed, but what they did is they just moved everybody up a level. Okay.
Yeah.
You got safeties to play corners to play outside backers, Jamel Williams, as an example, right? Ed Stewart as an example. And then
moving
you got those
safety,
and then you got those backers to move to DN, those DNs to play tackle.
Yeah.
Be tackle, and there you go. So you were able to stop the run because you were just tough and physical and strong.
Yep.
But you were agile and you were athletic and physical. And that's the combination that Nebraska's going to win with. Yeah. That's the combination Scott Frost wants the version and vision of his Huskers to be. And you look at the body types they're going after. They're first and foremost going after kids that love football, right? Yeah. Can the kid play? He may not be the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, but get under Duvall, and he'll get bigger, stronger, and faster. But his heart will be in the right place where he and his teammates want to compete for each other.
Yeah, you didn't hear many flakes.
No.
Out of the interviews this week.
And we'll hear snippets. And if you want to hear all of it, I mean, the podcast has been a lot of fun to do, and it's great to get caught up on with HaleVarsity.com and iTunes. But we did the extravaganza blowout. It was a ton of fun on Wednesday. We did the video from 10 to noon where we FaceTimed in. We had Hail Varsity folks. Greg Smith was out at York. Derek Peterson was down in Oklahoma for Jamie Nance. And then Brandon Vogel was in his lair. And Vogues has got a suite. Ground zero for him. And then Garrett Nelson from Scott's Bluff in the middle of his school hallway FaceTimed in. So that was cool. Jay Moore broke down some incredible film of the kids. So that video's posted up. And then an extended radio show 2 to 6 where we went and got a few minutes, sat down with a bunch of the commits. And you heard from Garrett Snodgrass and what he's kind of all about. Luke McCaffrey's phenomenal. Wandale Robinson joined us. He was a ton of fun. Anderson was a part of it. The kid out of Louisiana, the offensive lineman that looks really good. I mean, so we'll have some of their greatest hits from Wednesday coming up in the 8 o'clock hour after Brandon Vogel. Matthew Anderson's who I was talking about. And Jamie Nance is very confident, and, man, he can be something. People really
10-600 guy.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just straight speed. It's some wiggle to that speed, so the acceleration goes 0 to 60 pretty good. So that is on the docket. But you have guys that sound more like the Adrian Martinez's from their words, how they speak, and kind of their conviction about why they're doing this, why they're playing ball, what they bought into with Frost in Nebraska. The kid that the – most of Nebraska football fans are pretty excited about Ty Robinson. There's a lot of kids people are excited about, but Ty Robinson is a dude that is big, it's fast, is physical, and the way he plays, despite his size is an asset, but it's not a detriment either when it comes to, it's not a lumbering 6'5", 6'7", 300 pounds. I mean, he's not that big, but that's,
yeah,
you can kind of see where they'll go. Yeah, he can move. That's the best way to put it. And I liked Frost's story about visiting him in Arizona. Listen, they weren't sure they were going to get him.
Yeah.
And they did a phenomenal job. Nebraska knew how to, for lack of a better term, profile the personality.
Yeah.
And they put the work in to get the kids, make the connection, figure out why they're the best fit. And you have Nebraska winning out. I enjoyed Tom Chattel's story on Nick Henrich. I thought that was great insight with the kid's background, his dad from Iowa, and just where Nebraska was and where Nebraska had to go to get two really talented in-state kids from Burke. Yep. And the story of Frost going in there and talking with the dad and talking with Nick and, listen, man, you've got really great options in Iowa and Wisconsin, and they put guys in the league, and they do a tremendous job, and there's nothing I can't say that is bad about those guys because I think Frost really respects both those programs. But he's so convicted with his plan. He has such conviction with his plan that, look, it's going to be better, and we need you. I mean, it was phenomenal because you have a bunch of kids that – man, they had to do some makeup work.
Yeah.
And I know they've been here a year, but just from a program perception standpoint.
Totally.
They had to do a lot of makeup, a lot of catch-up work. Think about coming back to work. I'm sorry to do this to you at 7:15, but some of us are on vacation for a while, and you love it now, but that day back, you're buried. You're buried at work with stuff on your desk. Where do you start? That's kind of how Frost came in a year ago. By the way, while he was juggling two programs this year, I know going to a bowl game would have been sweet, maybe a bit of a blessing. Those extra practices would have been nice, but you had full focus on going out and closing your early signing period.
Well, it feels like they got their feet on the ground finally.
Right? They got to take a breath and
They
kind of stare straight.
He mentioned it, too. They're going to be able to take some time off over these next, you know, over the Christmas holiday. And they're set. You know, going into the second signing day, which is in February, you have, you know, 4 to 5 spots open, 3 to 5, kind of depends.
You can be very selective.
Very selective. And you can devote a lot of energy towards just a few folks and do all that. And locking down the two Burke kids was pretty important. Look, who knows if he'll develop in this way, and I think he has more physical development to go to reach Noah Fant status, but there's a pretty good similarity between Chris Hickman and Noah Fant when you watch them. When you
Hickman
watch them play
is
tight end.
Insane at tracking the ball and making plays up
he's the all
seam.
Hands. He's all hands and
he's
all speed.
His first couple of steps.
Yeah, he's fast.
Phenomenal.
So, he's a guy that they can split out if they need to. And then Henrich and Hannah, man, those are two. Really like those linebackers. I
you
really
love
like them a lot. They're both very fluid. You know, they're not just kind of the big stocky types. They're fluid athletes. They hit. They're rangy. They're exactly what you want. Now we were mentioning height before too. Listen to this for offensive line. And this isn't going to be my only contribution that, hey, Nebraska got tall people. But listen, offensive line, Bryce Benhart, 6'9".
Uh-huh.
Matt Fritchie, 6'7". Lynn kid from Colorado, 6'7". Anderson, who you talked about from Louisiana, 6'7". It is pretty incredible to me what they are doing just from a sheer size standpoint. Then getting Duvall involved with them, getting them in the program, it is reasonable to expect. You know, and Frost was talking about, hey, we look across the way and Iowa's bigger and I'm not used to seeing that. Or he's sort of overcompensating with some of these recruiting class. You're like, these guys, like at some
point. I see
you're
6'5 and I raise you 6'7.
Yeah, in a couple of years, you're just going to. Now, does that mean you're going to win every game? No. But in a couple of years, you're going to have a roster stocked full of some really giant human beings, and then little Ramir Johnsons, little Wandale Robinsons.
Go ahead and
J.D.
hide.
J.D. Spielman
Go
types.
Ahead and hide behind your 6'7 buddy.
But what I really like to see overall, what is clear about this, is they have a profile that they are recruiting to for sure. You know, like, and I don't think that's always been the case at Nebraska over the last two staffs. To some degree, yes. But with how much fluctuation there was, how many changes in coaches there were, with Bo's general approach to recruiting anyways, it wasn't as defined. It is clearly defined now. What they want at each position group.
Mm-hmm.
Their profile of size. They're most flexible at running back and receiver. Every other position, for the most part, has a specific profile. And with how organized those dudes are, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, all right, deal corner is 6'2 3/8 and 204 pounds. Like, it's, you know what I mean? So the closer we can get to that, the better. It's impressive. You heard this same thing with Riley, where this is a very organized recruiting operation. And to a degree, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Difference is closing.
It's closing, and who were you targeting to begin with, and what were you profiling? Now, I think they did a good job of having a plan, spreading Nebraska's brand out there, you know, using connections in California to bring in talent, all that. But you did not hear in any of these interviews, including with like Wandale Robinson, who I expected to be somewhat maybe flaky and you know, like just sort of kind of eccentric and all that. No, not at all. The dudes, they all seem pretty grounded, pretty focused.
They seem pretty grown up.
Yeah, exactly. Mature. Compare that to some of the folks. Like, how many of these guys announced via dramatic video?
None. There was no...
Like, literally zero, right?
There was no look at me element.
Compared to before.
Right.
How many of those guys announced via dramatic video? And then let's fast forward. How many of those guys who announced via dramatic video are actually doing anything for the University of Nebraska right now? I can think of one, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows kind of his history up until this year where he finally...
His journey.
Yeah. Because for a while there, it looks kind of like he was going to be a bust too. Mm-hmm. Tyjon Lindsey ends up being a bust. Elijah Blades never even got on campus.
Bookie's in route to the Orange Bowl.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's
What's the personality you're going after?
There is something to that. And then the other thing is how many of these guys played for or won their state championships?
Yep. Are you getting winners?
It is across the board. Mm-hmm. Bryce Bennard in Minnesota, Minnesota state title. Matt Anderson in Louisiana, huge run. I think they lost in the semis. Lynn from Colorado, runner up to McCaffrey, state champ.
Who's 1-3?
Right. You go down the list. You go down the list. You had Newsom in Georgia who played for North Gwinnett. I don't know how they finished, but they're
power.
They're a national power. Ramir Johnson, Bergen Catholic, same deal. So you're bringing in guys who are accustomed to winning. You're bringing in guys who are large, very large, larger than I think a lot of other rosters, a lot of other classes at a lot of other schools. And you're bringing in winners. You're bringing in your specific profile, and you're bringing in guys who seemingly do not have selfish, kind of entitled, weird, immature attitudes either. That's a pretty good recipe.
Well, I mean, the narrative was pretty drama-free, right? And there's always a little bit of drama, and that's just when it comes down to actually getting the signature. It ain't over till it is over. But Nebraska, listen, they picked their spots based on that personality and who was kind of going after some of the kids. You knew you had to come strong to flip Wandale Robinson.
Yeah.
And you knew you had to do something different for Ty Robinson. And Ty Robinson, listen, from what I've been able to gather and read, he isn't a spotlight, look-at-me type guy.
Although he did wear an ascot when he was named Defensive Player of the Year in Arizona. Did you see
sometimes
that?
Sometimes it's chilly.
You're going to have to talk to Brandon Vogel about that one.
See,
it was a straight-up ascot.
I was more kind of wowed by the belt buckle.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I just saw the ascot and was like, okay, you're going ascot on us now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But, well,
my little,
maturity.
My little boy wants a Burberry scarf. So,
come on.
I know. I had to shut that one down.
Yeah, good.
But style is style, and Vogues can give us some pointers on that. Can join us this morning, 466-377-6800-825-5865. What prospect are you most excited about for this 2019 class? If you want to say, duh, it's Wandale, that's fine. There's someone else, though, that you're kind of intrigued by. And the guy, Kranak, that you mentioned that I am anxious to see in this offense is Chris Hickman.
I think it's going to be a bit before you see him.
No, that's fine. But I'm just saying, you put some weight on him. You got the size.
He's probably a buck 90 at 6'6".
You have his speed.
Yeah.
And, man, he is so good at getting the ball. And, granted, his team was phenomenal at Burke.
I'm not sure he needs to play a traditional tight end. I'm not even sure.
Just flex him.
Yeah.
Put about 25 pounds on him and just flex him so you don't lose any wiggle or speed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he does not seem like the candidate to put 50 on to expect him to do some inline blocking against Rashawn Gary. Like, just, that's okay. He doesn't need to do that. Split him out a little bit, get a 6'1 corner on him, different story.
Mm-hmm.
Or a nickel.
Or give me an outside linebacker on him.
He's impressive, though. I'm telling he looks, man, he's good. I don't think you'll see him for a bit though, because he's got to eat. they gotta throw some carbs and protein on his plate.
Another guy we can spend some time on is Nance. And Derek Peterson did a great story on Nance, spent time with him down in Oklahoma. Nebraska, listen, you can't coach height, you can't coach speed, right? Those are the two things coaches spend time on. And with Nance, I mean, when's the last burner Nebraska had? I mean, Crouch? I mean, because Crouch was Crouch and Irwin Sweeney.
Are you talking about just any position?
Yeah.
Just somebody who is a flat-out track athlete.
Well, I'm talking broader first. Okay, when's the last time they flew Ellen? I mean.
Yeah, you had,
Newcomb?
Well, I mean, defensively, you'd have DiCaprio Boodle's one of those guys.
Right, but okay.
But let's corner, and he's isolated there.
Right, let's shrink it down. I mean, what's the last time Nebraska had a burner at wideout? Irving Fryer?
Franz Hardy was pretty fast.
Yeah.
Kenny Bell was pretty fast.
Yeah, Kenny's a good call.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying. Just that dude that's just flat out fastest person on the field.
You can give him cushion. He's still going to run by you. Let him go run under it.
I think you got a pair of those guys. So I think Ramir Johnson approaches that territory at running back. Jamie Nance, definitely. 10-600, come on.
It's Kranach time.
There's maybe, 50 guys in America that are running that speed.
Colton just missed the cut.
In high school. Too. Yeah, he did. He did. He didn't have the right shoes.
No.
Is what happened there. You know.
But they were colorful.
And by the way, you might see him quick. Listen to receiver. I think we've talked about this and we all know.
Well, you're waiting for someone to step up, man.
Well, I mean, so listen to what you have. Junior eligibility and up at receiver right now at Nebraska on scholarship.
JD, Mike Williams.
Jerron Woodyard.
Woodyard.
That's it.
That's three.
That's all you got, junior and above. Three guys on scholarship. Jury's definitely out on Woodyard. Williams, you're like, he got the playing time, but like, where's the production? How come he's not being targeted?
He's good at catching the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. He needed to work on his blocking.
Better.
And by the end of the year, he was not a liability anymore. He was doing a good job in the slot on all those bubbles.
But put it this way. Going into the year, the only for sure 100% this dude is in is Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, you're sort of like, probably Williams. Javon McQuitty, sophomore.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looked good in the spring game, but
he's been hurt.
Yeah, he was out. Then you got Hunt and Miles Jones as redshirt freshmen.
We don't know a lot about Hunt just because he got dinged.
Yeah. Same with Miles Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at three guys beneath Spielman eligibility-wise that all had injuries. And then you got this incoming class, Darian Chase, probably the least talked about or known recruit.
He's another fast dude.
Yeah, a kid out of Washington.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Nance out of Oklahoma, and then Wandale Robinson, who is, I guess, a receiver, running back.
How do you classify him?
I don't know. So you could see Nance early. You could see Wandale early. In fact, I expect to see Wandale early. You would have to expect that at this point.
Yeah. That's
So you look at linebacker two, inside linebacker, that's pretty precarious, you know.
Jonas
Miller and Barry. And then you got nobody who's a sophomore. You got nobody who is a redshirt freshman. You got Hannah, Henrich, and Snodgrass coming in. Snodgrass could play there.
Well, and
so
Jackson,
you see one of those guys,
Jackson,
too.
The Nashville assassin. You feel like needs
and Winemaster just retired.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I know, but he was probably that fourth guy.
Yep,
he's out of the picture now. So you could
here's my question on Henrich. I mean, what? The extent of his knee, can he be back by spring?
Yeah. I don't know. He says he will be.
Good for him.
That's what he says. He says he should be rehabbed and good to go by then. So just looking at the, you know, where Nebraska's kind of scholarship distribution is and what players they have where, here's the other one that I don't think has been talked about enough, safety. You got no... You got zero proven over the course of time guys at safety right now. Doman and Deontay Williams are the likely
Those
starters.
Are two.
Those are like
I'm waiting on Dismuke to pop.
Yeah. Avery Anderson hasn't ever seen the field. Then you got Cam Jones, CJ Smith, who redshirted. You got Miles Farmer. So I would expect out of this class, you will see safety. You will see inside linebacker. You may see outside linebacker just because that production has been so kind of off. I doubt you'll see anybody defensive line-wise. I just doubt it. I think it's too crowded. As good as Ty Robinson is, he better be phenomenal if you're going to see him.
Well, you have four games to play with.
Inside linebacker, corner, receiver, and probably running back is where you'll see any of these newer guys. I don't think you'll see one of those offensive line dudes, except maybe Ben Hart, just because of his gargantuan size.
Well, and just the level he's coming in at. I mean, he's a good player at a good program.
And he's fit now.
Yeah, and you give it a shot if you really do want to move Farniok inside.
Yeah, and by the way, they have mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be at right tackle. He's going to start out at right tackle. Now, when you show up, you better be good enough to displace
sure
who you're in front of, and by a large margin.
Right.
If you're just slightly better.
Don't wing it.
Slightly less, you redshirt him. But that's where I expect to see guys, is running back, receiver, inside linebacker, and safety. That's where you might see some of these newer guys.
Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, and Colton Stone, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio. Rewind is coming up. Jerry DiNardo, his thoughts on Nebraska, his thoughts on the Big Ten West. And where's the East at? What's going to happen with Ohio State? An overview of the league and how Nebraska did to kind of close that gap on Wednesday. We'll hear from Coach DiNardo with the Rewind in a minute on Hail Varsity Radio. Reminder to you, why wait to get that better health New Year's resolution to become a reality? How about Madonna Proactive? When you make your resolution to better health, sign up today in December and pay no initiation fee and get January for free. 56th and Pine Lake is just a gorgeous facility. You want to talk about top-notch facilities with care and professionals that can get you in that, out of that tailgate bod and into that beach bod. No annual contract or no fee with that, with an annual contract. And when you look at Madonna Proactive, go tell the folks you want to take a tour, madonnaproactive.org, 402-420-0000 is the number to call. 56th and Pine Lake is where Madonna Proactive is located. They also have Therapy Plus. Madonna Physicians and Therapy Plus can get you back into the game if you got an injury. Kranak, you had knee surgery recently.
I did.
And that weight-bearing portion of things can be tricky. The therapy pool in AquaTrack with Madonna Proactive Therapy Plus is a godsend. It's a 4 mile per hour current. It improves strength, balance, endurance, and it's 95 degrees. It feels so, so good to get that rehab going. But Madonna's got it going for you with Therapy Plus. And, of course, Madonna Proactive. Why wait till January for that New Year's resolution about better health? Get signed up today in December. Pay no initiation fee. January is free for you with Madonna Proactive. A timeout and our chat with Uncle Jerry. Coach DiNardo is next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We say hi to Big Ten analyst, longtime coach, friend of the show, Jerry DiNardo, back with us at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, how was your signing day, bud?
Well, I have to tell you, it was great fun, but it's a long day now. I got to tell you, from 8 to 4 on that set with one and a half potty breaks was a challenge, but it was fun. It was great.
So do you like it more doing the analysis, or did you love it as a coach, or did it wear you out as a coach?
All of the above. I mean, I did love it. I mean, a couple things, you have some highs and lows. You know, Kevin Falk committing to us at LSU our first year was big. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis at Indiana. You know, I mean, you remember the good times. You know you had some bad times, but you don't remember them quite as much. But I loved it all. I loved traveling the country, going in young people's homes. Never could replace that.
Coach, how was the chase for you with Kevin Falk? I know a lot of my listeners remember how talented and how great he was. down at LSU. What was that like? Because he was a highly sought after back.
Yeah, it was Notre Dame, Florida when we got to LSU. I think we perhaps were in third place. And, you know, obviously we made him a priority. I can remember, and I knew what I was doing. I said at my press conference that I was really my announcement of my acceptance of the job press conference. I said my piece, and then I said, I'm going to take a few questions, but then I've got to go recruiting. And I made a big deal out of it. I couldn't say his name. It would have broke the rules. And it was exactly how I expected. I got in my car, and we had every TV station and radio station following us to Karen Crow High School. And they could do whatever they want. They were taking pictures of the visit and all that, and then I went to his home and so on and so forth. So we played it up right. So that was a lot of fun. We got him, and he helped us build that program.
So it was you and about 15 news trucks following you to his to his living room.
Well, they weren't allowed in the living room, but they were allowed in the high school. So when I went in and introduced myself to the high school coach, because I had never been to Carrico High School, obviously, and then they got Kevin out of class and brought him down and all that. But I wasn't in violation of any rule. I couldn't tell the media what they could do and what they couldn't do. I certainly didn't orchestrate it. All I said is I had to go recruiting as soon as the press conference was over.
That's pretty good. Let's talk Nebraska, and we'll spend some more time on the Big Ten. What was your impression of what Nebraska did? You can get specific or you can stay broad, either on some of the prospects. But what did you think of Coach Frost? I know he was really happy yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to stay broad. I don't know that I've studied all the players. Obviously, I had to do some yesterday that I had to research and do video on it. But, you know, it looks like they have started out maybe where they've been the last 4 years. They're in the 20s. They have good reason to be excited. I made this comment on TV, and it's got quite a bit of play, and I'll say it again here, is I don't think Coach Frost would be really satisfied with recruiting until he has a top 10 class. I think that's where he's going. Because he started in the 20s. You know, that's pretty much what they've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. I've studied the last 4 years of everybody's recruiting classes as far as the numbers are concerned, and Nebraska's been in the 20s. And to me, that's the bare minimum. I think it only gets better from here. So, you know, again, I think he's just scratching the surface. I anticipate a top 10 player here pretty soon.
I think what a lot of Nebraska fans are excited about is the ability to get top 20 or better ranked talent, but also develop that talent when you get the combo going, because that's where you can really, really thrive and climb up and have some special seasons. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, Chris, there's just so much. There's so much positive energy, and you've got the walk-up program. You signed 5 players in state. I think the last 4 years it was a total of 5. This year it was 5. And Scott's got a great story to tell. You know, he went to Stanford. He came back. I mean, it's just the stars are aligned. And, again, I just think it's going to get better. Interesting enough, he didn't sign anybody from Florida. That caught my eye a little bit, you know, and because last year he did, and he had the history at UCF and all that. But you look at it, I made this comment as well on TV when we did the map of the signees, you know, all the states and how many prospects signed from each state. I said, it looks like Coach Osborne's recruiting. You know, it's coast to coast, it's Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico.
No, they didn't get a Florida kid, you're right, but 15 different states, I think 8 kids out of SEC country. They did 5 from Pac-12, another 5 from the Big Ten footprint. But you nailed it with the 5 in-state kids, and I think it's a pretty good year of high school kids, not only scholarship but walk-on in the state of Nebraska. And Nebraska just didn't do enough, apparently, in-state the last few years to get in-state kids to keep in-state. Iowa's gotten a lot of really good Nebraska kids over the years, or some of them have gone up to North Dakota State or some of the other Dakotas, but it's good to keep those home state kids in Lincoln, and that's what really helps build the program. Coach, you look at Nebraska, I think their composite was 24. With Jeff Brohm, and I love that, that Frost and Brohm are going to be duking it out in the West. Do you think Purdue overachieved coming in at 25, or is Purdue built for bigger and better things recruiting-wise under Brohm?
Well, they're going to continue to feel like they're recruiting, but here's my point, Chris, about Nebraska and Purdue. The last 4 years, Purdue's classes have been ranked in the 60s and 70s nationally. Literally the 60s and 70s nationally. In the last 4 years, the average Big Ten ranking for Purdue has been 13.
Wow.
There's only 14 schools, okay? This year, they're five behind Nebraska, who's four, and the three people in the East, okay? Mm-hmm. So my point is that Jeff Brohm, he's closed the gap right away. There may be a ceiling in West Lafayette. There may be a ceiling. I don't think there's a ceiling in Lincoln. And the difference between the two schools is the history, the national championships. Purdue's got a very good past in football. Nebraska has a great past in football. And I am of the belief, Notre Dame being in the playoff will back me up on this. If you have greatness in your past, you can have greatness in the future. And that's the difference. I'm not saying that Purdue's not going to beat Nebraska. I'm not being disrespectful to Purdue. I'm just telling you, Jeff Brohm started in the 60s and is in the 20s. And Coach Frost started in the 20s and is still in the 20s. And it's only going to go up.
We talked a couple weeks ago, and you mentioned we were talking about Wisconsin's season. They're at 7-5 right now. You made a point that they need to recruit better. They did. They finished 27th in the recruiting rankings. They got a five-star offensive lineman from Michigan. They also got a four-star quarterback out of Overland Park, Kansas. Did you like what you saw from Wisconsin? Did they bounce back okay?
Yeah, I did. And I did study those two players that you mentioned on Wisconsin. And they're very good players. And Wisconsin did have a better year. And if you look at the rankings, and this, you know, we got into this conversation about the unbalanced conference and leaders and legends and all that. You know, you had Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, and then.
Coach, did we lose you? Coach, you dropped out there, and you mentioned you were talking about Wisconsin, and then you got into. We got you back about the only team that can challenge the East is Nebraska. What were you saying about Wisconsin?
Okay, so here's what I was saying. You look at the top six, right?
Yep.
You've got Michigan, you've got Penn State, you've got Ohio State. East Division schools. One's ranked 7th, one's 10, and one's 12, or something like that. I'm driving, so I don't have all my stuff in
no
front
worries.
Of me. Okay, so that's the top three. Then the next three, Nebraska, Purdue, and Wisconsin. But they're in the 20s, and I think Wisconsin, no, they were all in the 20s, early 20s, late 20s. So there's still a gap between the best three in the East and the best three in the West. And here's my point. I think you did here. The only one that I believe can challenge the three in the East from the West is Nebraska. I think the other schools in the West are always going to be in the 20s or lower. I think Nebraska is the one that can be more upward mobile and compete with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State on national signing day.
We got a couple minutes. Jerry DiNardo with us, Big Ten Network, Hail Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Jerry DiNardo. What'd you take away from Ohio State and Michigan's classes? Yes, they're top 10, but they weren't top 5 like they'd been in past years.
Okay, so Michigan, you know, big class. Highly ranked, probably the best job Jim Harbaugh has done since he's been there recruiting. I think it's really, really good news for Michigan. That's where they should be every year. Penn State, they ranked 2nd, but they had the most 4 stars of anybody, but their class wasn't real big. Outstanding year. Ohio State, Urban Meyer was a head coach at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State. He became a master recruiter, as fine a recruiter as there's been in college football in recent years. Ryan Day what kind of recruiter is he going to be? We won't know for a year. They had a small class, but it's hard to figure that someone who's going to be a first-year head coach can all of a sudden be as good a recruiter as someone who's won three national champions and has signed the top class in the Big Ten since 2010 until last year. This is the first year since 2010 that Ohio State won't have the top-ranked class in the Big Ten. Those are big shoes to fill.
Coach, last thought, and we wish you a happy holiday to you and your family. Are you heading down? Are you going to see Clemson, Notre Dame?
No, I'm not. I'm headed to the Rose Bowl on December 29th and heading back home on January 2nd. So that's about it for me. Our group, me, Howard, and Rever, we usually go to the National Championship or the Rose Bowl. Last year we did neither. I guess we weren't in the Rose Bowl last year. I don't really remember. I know we weren't in the championship hunt. So that's my plan.
All right. Well, enjoy it, and thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet. Thanks, Chris.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Good stuff from Jerry DiNardo, the Rewind with Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Let's bring in Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. Colton Stone on the research binge this morning with other programs that have gone to various states. What do we got going here, Kranick?
I had a random tab playing video on a random website. So, Colton, we were looking. Nebraska had
14.
15.
16.
16.
I think 16 is the final count.
Okay, 16 states that Nebraska recruited
from. It's like we're recalling
from.
How many beers we all had on Friday night.
I prognosticated. I said, hey, that's got to be a record. And nobody else can have guys from 16 states in one class. But you found?
Notre Dame finished with 17 for the class of 19. Duh. Well, it started with 17 for the class of 19.
Duh. Of course they recruit nationally.
They recruit nationally.
Notre Dame.
Stanford would, I would think Stanford and Northwestern would be candidates too.
Stanford was about 12.
Okay.
Northwestern, I just looked at the top 25 teams. So Clemson was at 14, only team in the top, or top team in the top 10. Michigan 13, and Alabama had 11.
Huh. That's really...
Yeah, then the lowest one was Florida State at 4 and Washington at 5.
Okay.
Washington has a lot of dudes, Colton was telling me, from Hawaii. 5
yeah.
From Hawaii.
Well, here's your connection with that. The Bishop, Coach Peterson, and his Mormon background, he is locked into the Samoan culture.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of missionary
there you go.
Crossover there. So that's you have a lot of Samoan and Polynesian
yep.
Hole at Washington, and they have been phenomenal at defensive linemen over the years.
Yeah, and then in comparison to last year, Notre Dame had 16, Nebraska had 14. So
okay,
but safe to say
up.
That generally, and you know, among the, I guess you could count Nebraska in the upper echelon of college football, not record wise recently, but it's pretty much Notre Dame and Nebraska are the most nationally recruiting programs.
National brand.
That's interesting.
I like it.
I'm surprised Clemson had 14. Like, that surprised me. Alabama would I mean, and national recruiting has to have increased, even compared to 10 years ago.
Well, because you can't have the same 25 programs going into the same three states. You got to spread it out.
Yeah.
All right, hour two coming up with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranick.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone, recapping signing day. And a man, a part of it with HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We'll have an Ascot question for him. We'll also get into Joe Camel, not the smoking mascot, but maybe the house pet of one Ty Robinson. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. And you read them every morning on Hot Reads with HailVarsity.com. And hopefully you picked up that Dream Like a Champion paperback edition for that Husker volleyball fan that Brandon co-authored with John Cook. He's, well, I'm sure he's marinating some sort of meat, getting ready for Christmas Day. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good, man. What do you know?
I don't know a whole lot. I'm not marinating meat at the moment, but I am in the middle of a 90-minute drive just to get a ham. So
Hold on. Okay. Explain this strategy for me here. I mean, I'm not one to mock. I've driven up to Cranack territory for a Stoicage smoked turkey breast.
That's just
how we do turkey day. But you're going an hour and a half out of the way for ham. I pray that it's bone in.
it is. Grocery store ham is perfectly fine. It's usually packed in some sort of solution and plumped up, which it still tastes great. But this ham is literally just, a piece of pig that has been covered in sugar and salt and cured for like 6 months and then smoked and then aged for another 6 months. So
it's
similar to your Stoicage sojourn, which I certainly understand as well. Like, it's the holidays, so you want to have the best of the best at least once a year.
Isn't that kind of how they do things in Spain? Is this like an Iberian type ham with an American spin?
Yeah, this would be the rural America version of some very fine Spanish hams. Yeah, Spain does ham about as well as anyone. But American country ham is probably our closest equivalent.
Huh. And is this from a breed of hog that's like, there's only 40 of them in the world type thing? Or is it like a normal kind of run-of-the-mill hog?
Is this a five-star hog we're talking about?
No, this is a mid-three-star hog. the same that, the grocery stores turn into the ham you can get there. The difference, like in recruiting, is in development and how much you can bring that ham along to fully achieve what it is meant to be. And that's why I'm driving 90 minutes out of the way.
Oh my goodness. So the hog has been developed. That's good.
Brandon, what did you think of the class? We had you on the ALVarsity.com web show. That sounds dirty. Trust me, it is not. But man, Frost felt good, and I know you were pretty pleased with Wednesday. What stuck out most to you, either player or comment, or just kind of ballpark it for me here, man? What were some of your impressions?
Well, I think how sort of pro forma it felt, among the guys that seemed to be at the top of their list, they got most of those guys, and they got them without much fuss, Ty Robinson was the biggest signing day ad, and Nebraska, got two others. But I think they had a great feeling that he was in, and we know he was one of their top targets. And it seemed to go that way pretty well for them for most of the cycle. You had two quote-unquote decommits, which barely qualify for that term. So it's kind of remarkable just how easy it seemed to be once they had a full recruiting cycle to do it. And rankings wise, it ended up right in Nebraska's range, but they still spent the spring kind of recovering from a lack of available visits to use. So I think if you're worried about the ranking, and it doesn't seem like a ton of people are at this point, give it a little time, because I think once they fully have, okay, now, we have our visits planned out the way we want to use them, you could see Nebraska creep higher.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We started the show looking at just the physical profile of a lot of these guys, and it's really starting to emerge. You especially see it at defensive line. You also see it at defensive back. You also see it at offensive line. When they talk about wanting length, Nebraska is just stockpiling the last two classes. Sure. Guys that are just, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". Is that something that's, is there another program that values it like these guys? Because I'm just like, you think Frost is all about speed and everything, but it seems like he's not compromising on size either. Like, he wants to be huge and fast. It seems like you have to choose, but he's not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's some programs out there that have a pretty specific profile in terms of what they're looking for in, say, like a defensive lineman or offensive lineman and things like that. And I think that's what you're seeing here, you know, with sort of the skill position guys. You know, maybe you want a sort of big body receiver or two, but you can see there that, you know, they're not scared of, you know, 5'9 or 5'10 Wandale Robinson, whatever he is, or, you know, 5'10 Miles Jones. Like, that's where you really, I think, see the speed come in. And then otherwise, you know, it seems to me like they're really looking for a frame for those positions where you're going to have to put some weight on. They kind of, it seems like they have parameters there that they know they're going to try and hit. And they're pretty big parameters. So for those guys that are going to have to come in and put in weight, like the taller they are, the bigger they are, it seems the more Nebraska likes them.
Brandon Vogel's with us this morning, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. He is en route to go pick up a mid-3-star bone-in ham that's had a year of love and affection. And
is that from Benton Smoky Mountain?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I did some Googling and figured that out.
That's
okay.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk Darian Daniels for a second. Let's go sidetrack here for a moment before we get back to some of the other kids. I'm pretty excited for Nebraska to get a guy like Darian Daniels. I know his career and specifically his senior season with this pinky injury, man, that was probably tough to deal with. But I can't – and now we spent a little time on him. It became official this week, obviously. But what do you see his role being, Brandon, with Nebraska? Is it more give you a few plays, or is it – lots of snaps and kind of push the right buttons for Damian Daniels, his little brother?
I think he'll play a lot of snaps and not just push buttons for Damian, but I think some guys across the defensive line as a whole. You know, it's not that Nebraska doesn't have its own leaders up there and things of that nature, but with Darian, that's one of the things that jumps out, you know. As a freshman, he was Oklahoma State's Defensive Newcomer of the Year. I think after his junior year, he won one of their leadership awards. Oklahoma State sent him to Media Days last year, you know, which tells you quite a bit about the kind of person I think that he probably is. As a guy that they're like, yeah, well, this is one of the seniors we're going to send to represent our program. So I think that, along with his ability, makes this a really great pickup for Nebraska, because you are kind of serving two needs there. You've got a veteran guy who's been pretty good when he's, you know, been healthy, and he's also displayed some really good leadership traits. So I think he's going to bring a lot to the table, you know, kind of similar to what Trey Neal did for Nebraska too. You know, it's not quite the same because Trey brought a bunch of knowledge from UCF with him, but in terms of glue guys, you know, Trey certainly was that for Nebraska, and I think Darian has the same ability.
It's a good take with the glue part of it, and he wants to go out kind of with a bang. I was interested to read the story on Coach Gundy's response. I mean, he wasn't real thrilled, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Darian Daniels. What do you make of no Florida kids? And I know Nebraska had a ton last year, but was it more just about being selective and kind of passing on some of the kids that they may have been interested in? I mean, Lloyd Summerall's the one kid that they were in it to the end with, and he chose Florida. But Nebraska did well in Georgia, but nothing from Florida this year.
Yeah, I think it's one where, you know, you just kind of didn't have the interests necessarily align, probably both ways, in terms of maybe players Nebraska was interested in and players that were then interested back in Nebraska. And when you're doing well in Georgia, you land another guy from Alabama, another guy from Louisiana, you know, I think it's just kind of a quirk or an anomaly. You know, I haven't done this, but I'll have to go back and look, see how many, if the number of offers they extended in Florida was any different. You know, it was probably lower than last year, just because last year they came with a bunch of guys they'd already been recruiting at UCF, or at least, you know, had conversations with. So I'm guessing that first recruiting cycle, number of offers was probably inflated a little bit. And the number of commits probably was a little bit too. You know, they got 8, I think, if I remember correctly. And it's going to be tough to be that heavy in Florida, I think going forward. But I do think they'll get a guy or two at least from the state of Florida in most classes.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, how big of a problem is it for Nebraska? You look at the 2017 class. Out of the 20 guys that committed, there are only 10 left on campus. It's pretty much a lost class. These would be guys coming into their third year in the program. How much is Nebraska having to make up for that, and how much of an effect does that have on Nebraska's roster overall?
Yeah, that'll be a really interesting one to watch, because that's basically half the class, which if you go through historically at Nebraska and really at most places, like, you're probably getting contributions from about half of most of your classes. So there's no room for error now, since half is already gone. The remaining 10 or 11 really better be contributors and better be good. Normally, I would say this is a potentially big impact, but, you know, Frost came in last year and immediately started flipping that roster with the amount of turnover that happened going into this season, and that's going to happen, you know, continue going into next season. I think if you had a time to lose half a class and be able to not notice the effects to a certain degree, this is probably it, because they were already trying to flip the roster and get it to their vision and what they want it to be. But you never quite, I think, can totally just circumvent the fact that, hey, you signed 20 guys and 10 of them were gone by, you know, a year or two down the road. That hurts. Like, it's tough. And even if that's kind of a standard contribution rate, like, normally you'd at least have a few more bodies still around to help with depth and things like that. So it could be a big deal most of the time. I think if there's a time to survive it, it's now.
We're going to talk with Greg Smith here in about 25 minutes, Vogues, anxious to get his take on the class. The big name, Wandale Robinson, we'll hear comments from him coming up here next segment. I want your thoughts, though, on Ty Robinson. From what you've researched on him, and take me through the process. What stood out about Nebraska being able to get the yes from him over the SCs and the Alabamas of the world? And then what is his niche going to be in Lincoln? What does his skill set provide for the defense? What are they going to ask of him?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Nebraska returns some pretty good experience on the defensive line. So I don't think he's a guy who has to play right away. I think the plan for him probably is get him in, you know, redshirt him, use those 4 games if you can, and really you have a year. And I think given his frame, they could get him pretty close to what they want him to look like in over the course of that year. You know, depending on health and avoiding injury and all those things. So he's probably 2 years away, but beating out schools like they did, you know, when USC cleaned house, I think that certainly helped Nebraska to a degree. But hearing some of the comments from both he and Frost, you know, it seems like they really developed that relationship. You know, Frost put it as he's our kind of guy. And I think you're going to see a lot of that with Nebraska when they find someone like that. That's what's going to allow them to win some of those big recruiting battles where you've got traditional recruiting heavyweights like Alabama and USC involved. But you know, he kind of goes to the profile of, like, going to be long. They need some help off the edge. We've seen them look kind of outside linebacker to do that a lot. But if they can get some of that from the defensive end spot, you know, I think they're starting to bring in the guys that are kind of more traditional body types for what they want to see there.
Traditional dressers too, man. Did you see Ty Robinson in his Ascot game? Did you see that?
I, No, I did not see that.
Yeah, he was named like Defensive Player of the Year or something in Arizona, and they had some sort of banquet for it. I mean, straight up ascot with sports coat. Just kind of like, dude, what are you? You're 18, 17, and you're, come on. He looked like he was, I don't know. He looked like he was some sort of French artist from, you know, in his 60s. That was interesting. I thought you'd notice.
When bow ties, you know, became sort of went from novelty to just like a thing stylish dudes wore, it kind of seemed, you know, I assumed there would be a day where like Desmond Howard would be on game day with an ascot, because like where else do you go after you've kind of exhausted the bow tie? But Ty Robinson got there first. You know, being from Arizona, he also could have gone with a bolo tie, which would have been a nice piece of like regional flair, you know, like a turquoise bolo tie. but that ascot's nice. It kind of disrupts conventions. I like it.
I got to ask, Vogues, you are the fashion folks. The fashion guy we turn to. I mean, I need your advice on things. Yay or nay on the ascot? Do you have one?
No, I don't. I don't have one. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could pull that off. But I think you could, Schmitty.
No way. You're just BSing me here.
Nope, that's not a joke. Like it's something about your soothing radio voice that it screams ascot to me. You can have a nice ascot, you know, if you want, wear it with a robe, brandy snifter, maybe a cigar. I don't know if those are your things, but like I could see it. I can picture it in my head. So you have permission from me.
I scream ass something to people. I mean that's what my voice says. Oh, that guy's a jerk. But no, I get it. I just don't see myself as, I think like the, who's the guy in Ocean's 11 that they let Danny Ocean and his crew stay with? The guy with the glasses.
Oh, yeah. Saul?
No, Saul was the old guy that did the impressions. Who was the guy with the cigar and the glasses, and he had the 15 gold chains? Maybe it was Saul. I don't know. But he wore an ascot trying to eat a salad, and he was 300 pounds. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wore it, but he looked like an a-hole wearing it. I mean, but Ty Robinson looks pretty stylish, correct, Kranek?
Well, hold on.
There goes all the interview requests are going to be shot to hell at about 3, 2, 1. Go ahead.
There was a lot happening there. There was a lot happening.
Can you show me the picture? Can
I'm
you
trying
tweet
to
out
find
the picture?
It right okay. now. I'm not even listening to what's going on in the show.
Shocking.
I know. I'm searching for this because he tweeted it himself.
Okay.
I'm going to find this thing, and I'm gonna share it with you guys. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just not fashion forward enough to understand ascots, but it feels like there was something amiss happening there.
Kranek, you and Vogel both are fashion icons. There, I said it.
This is not true.
It is. It is.
Icons.
Vogues, let's switch gears before we say goodbye. We were talking yesterday about Nebraska's Big Ten schedule to start things off. Post holiday for Husker basketball, they play Fullerton today. Yay! But then there are five Big Ten games. Man, I mean Maryland and Iowa, roadies, and then Sparty and Penn State at home, with a little Indiana mixed in. What's a good number for you for Miles and company after they close out this non-conference?
For that five game stretch,
yeah.
I think if you go 3-2, you kind of hang where I think Nebraska's at right now, and that would be perfectly fine. You know, those road games in there are particularly tough, and the Big Ten's a strong league. You know, it's going to be a bit of a dogfight. You know, Nebraska's played well. James Palmer has played really well, and thus Nebraska has played really well of late in two pretty big games. But the Big Ten is going to be tough. Like it may be tough to replicate the Nebraska's finish from last year, even though I think the team's improved. So kind of buckle up for that kind of ride, and you're going to get a pretty good dose of it here right at the start. So it should be fun to watch the conference as a whole this year.
Last thought, can you wear an ascot with a belt buckle? Because I'm looking at Ty Robinson's signing day picture with the Nebraska, SC, Bama, and Oregon hat on the table. And he's got it's like he won junior rodeo. Homeboy's got a big, big belt buckle. Can you do ascot and belt buckle? Or is that too much?
See, that's tough. That's like old school, like Deadwood stuff. I'm talking like Deadwood, the TV series.
I loved that show.
Then you could probably get away with an ascot and a belt buckle. See, this is why I kind of said I was expecting bolo tie, because bolo tie and belt buckle, they're like made for each other.
So. That's good. Deadwood era.
Just tweeted you guys. Did you get it?
Yes, I will look at it here.
Check it out. Did you get it, Brandon? Do you see it? I don't know if you're in front of it. Oh, you're driving. You can't see it. Of course you can't.
he was on his way to get his money Christmas ham, and then he answered his phone.
Listen, dude. This is button-up shirt, vest, sport coat, ascot, jeans, boots, it appears. There's a lot happening here.
Wow.
See what I'm saying? I just questioned, although in some ways...
It's a good vest.
I don't know. Although in some ways, you're sort of like, okay, maybe, you know, appreciates layers. Maybe he's a layered person. I don't know.
No, I like his Twitter handle, Lord Sacks.
Yeah.
Vogues, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, brother. Really appreciate you. Incredible work, you and everyone at Hail Varsity, for another great year. And enjoy. Tweet out a picture of that Christmas ham that my mouth is watering for already. Can you do that for us?
I can do that.
All right. Vogues, we'll pool our money together, and we'll be sending you an ascot, too.
Excellent. Merry Christmas, guys.
Take care, bud. There he is. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. We'll hear from some of the commits for Nebraska that joined Hail Varsity Radio this week. That's coming up. And then Greg Smith will put a bow on this final show of Hail Varsity for 2018, as we are on a little bit of a hiatus until the 2nd of January. A quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, will be back with us next Saturday. He is flying from Houston back home. He had Rice UNO last night, and
UNO got it done.
They did. They've won three on the road. Good for them. We'll see if the Huskers get it done. I'm excited to today taking Carson to Nebraska basketball. No real red tip-off down in...
Why not? Why not? It's
the holiday season.
It's a huge game.
No, it's not.
Who are they playing?
Fullerton. NCAA tournament team, Fullerton. That's got four starters back and is really, really bad this year.
Hey, okay.
So here's what's happening.
That makes no sense.
Taking Carson.
Why are they really bad if they have four starters back from a tournament team?
Don't know. Colton will get on that. My father's going to go with us. My two nephews are going. And then Denois.
Schmitz do Lincoln.
Family friend. And his two grandkids.
Look at that.
So, yeah. We got all of us together.
That's special.
It'll be nice.
That is very special. To watch Fullerton. All right. Memories.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, you remember this time of year. It was always in December. It was the Pella Windows or Emeritus Classic where... Roast Beef State would roll in, and Nebraska would always win the Emeritus Classic or the Pella Windows Classic.
I've always wondered where the whole classic thing comes from.
I don't know. One year, Nebraska did invite Ohio U, and they had Gary Trent.
But seriously, why do they always call it a classic? Is it because of the classic format of the tournament?
Because it's this time of year every year.
Is it intended to be like some sort of classic... Because that's a strong word.
It's not a classic performance.
Classic is a strong word, right? Like but a lot of times it's not a very strong tournament field. And so you're like, why are you calling this a classic?
It's classic because you always win it.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk to some of the recruits that joined us on Hail Varsity Radio. and had a chance to spend some time with quarterback Luke McCaffrey.
Classic.
The first family of football in Colorado.
Classic family.
And with McCaffrey, he told us, you know, what he loves about this offense. I mean, it all really kind of clicked for him as Adrian Martinez is front and center, yes, but you want that next guy, right? You got your quarterback, you got him in your class, and he is a big-time playmaker. Here is Luke McCaffrey with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
Oh, the explosiveness of this offense is awesome. Coach Walters and Coach Frost, they both do a great job of keeping the defenses on their toes and using the right play at the right time. And Coach Verduzco does a great job of just grooming quarterbacks, getting them ready, comfortable with the system, and ready for games. And so that's something that I can't wait. It's been a dream of mine forever, and I'm glad I found a coaching staff that can fit my skill set.
And when you look at the skill set of McCaffrey, really good on the run, got tons better as a thrower, always has his eyes downfield, that dual threat, but great decision-making. I think his numbers were 27 touchdowns to just seven interceptions. Mm-hmm. As Valor Christian won another state championship. I really like what he can do.
He hasn't played a ton of quarterback.
Last 2 years he has.
Not unlike Adrian Martinez, right? Though, right? Adrian Martinez missed his senior year. He played as a sophomore and a junior. McCaffrey sat under his brother mm-hmm. for some time. Valor Christian's such a powerhouse, they don't have to ask a ton of their quarterback. So his numbers aren't gaudy by any stretch. They're efficient. They're good. But athletically is what you hear about with him,
yeah.
is that his level of athleticism is ridiculous. And there was talk about maybe moving him to get him on the field to receiver or something like that. Mario Verduzco shuts that down. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that now they still could do it in special packages or whatever if they need to. But, yeah, he's next in line after Martinez, which if Martinez continues his trajectory, it's ridiculous to say, but wouldn't be surprised if
you got 2 years of him.
Yeah, you got two more years mm-hmm. of Adrian, and then it's McCaffrey show.
Yeah. One of the kind of staples of this class, in-state inside linebacker Garrett Snodgrass, your tremendous program, really good kid, and kind of a tone-setter guy. He's excited about his peers in this class, and here is Garrett Snodgrass on just what this group's going to bring. This group of 2019 commits, would you say you guys are pretty serious, pretty focused?
Yeah, I would say that, and also we know how to have a lot of fun. They're just a lot of fun guys in our class, and we're gonna have a lot of fun too. I mean, we're going to take it seriously for sure, and we're all really excited to get to work. And we know we're going to have to do a lot of hard work to get where we need to be. But we also understand that, you know, football is a fun sport. You know, we do it because we have fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun together. So,
you know what? The term fun is often lost when you make that jump from high school to college. It goes to a job. But can you work hard and play hard? It sounds like they absolutely will.
Snodgrass is one that sort of seems positionless right now. You're not quite sure where he's going to go. He's going to start a linebacker of some sort. Mm-hmm. But you don't know if that's inside. You don't know if that's outside. And honestly, you've heard a little bit of criticism of like, oh, well, you know, I'm not expecting a whole lot of him. He's a nice in-state story. That's good. Blah, blah, blah. I kind of disagree.
Like he's a player.
Yeah, well, right. And I think he has a frame. And, you know, coach's son, you know, he's going to have the acumen. Athletically, I don't think he's wanting for anything.
No, I think he's going to be able to be very instinctual. I think he brings that already because of some of those traits, being a coach's son, studying the tendencies, the athleticism. I think he can be I'm not calling him Barrett Rude, but I think he can be a Barrett Rude type player, a guy that just makes things happen.
Well, and he's a developmental guy too, because he plays multiple sports mm-hmm. at York. So I don't think you're expecting anything from him immediately. But I think once you have somebody like
him, as thin as they are on the inside, I think
once you have him fully devoted to one sport,
sure,
I think you'll see him blossom in a couple years.
Well, Wandale Robinson was the big flip, the big get. And he spent some time with us on Hail Varsity discussing that decision to wear red versus blue and also the offense here with Nebraska and Coach Frost.
So going back to that decision, Wandale, for you to flip your commitment from Kentucky to Nebraska, for those who don't know already, what was it that led you back to Nebraska in your mind?
Really, I just knew that was where my heart was. I was just listening to myself and actually listening to my heart. Ultimately, I just knew that's where I wanted to be.
Wandale Robinson's joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio. How did Coach Held make a positive impression on you? What was that conversation starter like between you two?
Really, he was just telling me the impact that I could have out there year one, and the big need for them is that guy that can play both running back and receiver. And so that's really how we just started kicking things off, and then just talking every day and developing our relationship.
And staying on that point, Wandale, about the offense, is that, would you say, one of the biggest driving factors for what initially even got you interested in this staff? Is that their history with players at your position?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, whenever Coach Frost coached at Oregon and seeing guys like D'Anthony Thomas and Michael James and those kind of guys, I mean, I just obviously know what he could do with the guys that are similar to like me.
That's Wandale Robinson. Kind of got three questions in there with him, but pretty matter of fact kid and knows what he wants.
You know, and one of the, maybe the only recruit where I think it is actually an upset and it is a surprise if he is not significantly contributing this year. I think it's the only guy.
He's got to be.
I think it's the only guy that you can say that about in this class where it's like you expect him. Along with that, you got some expectations coming in. That's not easy. You're adjusting to moving away from home. You're adjusting to going to college for the first time. You're adjusting to playing against beasts in the Big Ten. It's a lot of adjustment to do, but he is the one guy in the class that you fully expect to come in and make an immediate impact. An immediate impact. So can he shoulder all that? Can he do it?
You know what I'm pretty interested in, too? He works out with Rondale Moore. Okay. They work out together. That's the comparison, fair or not. But the impact, can you do what Rondale did? Nebraska fans, some think that, yeah, you got the same type of guy. I think Rondale's once in a generation. Wandale could be very special.
Yeah.
How soon is he special? That's the question. But, I mean, he'll be able to talk to a peer. He'll be able to say, okay, did you just go in and play? What worked out well? How do I adjust? What's the biggest difference between rolling people in Kentucky and going to the Big Ten? I mean, there's at least some sort of point of reference, even in the same division, that Wandale can get some guidance from.
You know, and Nebraska has not had, I don't think, a ton of success going back a few staffs with these types of players, the types of players being the ones that are really jukey, you know, that you can split out wide or put in the backfield. You go back to like Jamal Turner, it kind of never really materialized for him, but he was similar skill set. Tyjon Lindsey, saw what happened there. He's now out of the program. He was supposed to be that sort of player. So we'll see. You know, it's always, it seems like very few of those guys actually make a giant impact, right, with that skill set where you're already kind of diminutive. But you got the quicks, you got the speed. You know, athletically, he's there. You go back to Courtney Grigsby back in the day where they moved him to corner, so he never really had that impact. So we'll see. We'll see if he can do it. I hope so, because when you have one of those kind of players, it's a total X factor for your entire operation.
Last thought here, Andrew Anderson.
Matthew
Anderson. Andrew's a guy who does work for us here.
There you go.
Forgive me. Matthew Anderson out of Louisiana, he fits well. He was pretty excited to be part of the offensive line hall. How do your talents fit into what you expect to see on the offensive line with Coach Austin?
Well, I mean, firstly, Coach Austin's a great coach. I think that's plain to see. Coach Frost is such an innovative mind when it comes to the, how he runs his offense. I think I fit perfectly in it. I think, no matter what, I'm going to work my tail off to become perfect for it. There's any discrepancy in the way I play, it'll be fixed. I have complete faith in all the coaches. Coach Duvall, I think he's going to turn me into an absolute monster. I love the way they run the ball and the way they throw. I mean, there's really not a wrong way for the offense to move. I mean, and to be a part of that, I mean, it's breathtaking.
He's pretty happy about it, and he's super fired up and excited to be part of the group. And, man, between Duvall and Coach Austin, should be good things. A quick timeout, and we'll get a rundown from Greg Smith, Hail Varsity recruiting analyst, as we wrap up a Saturday edition. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down a Saturday. I don't know where Greg Smith's en route to, but Brandon Vogel was driving 90 miles to get that Christmas ham. Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, where are you off to, man?
Good morning. I am off to Mississippi with my wife's family to enjoy the holidays. I'm currently somewhere in Missouri. I can't tell. There's not a road sign anywhere.
Have fun, man. Mississippi. There's a lot of jokes in there somewhere, probably, but we're going to spare you right now.
I would advise you to avoid making them to not have my wife yell at me. Yeah, okay. I'd appreciate
it. Well, that sounds like we're on Bluetooth as well. That is Mark Kranak, not Chris Schmidt, about the Mississippi.
Yeah, it was Chris Schmidt talking about Mississippi.
No, not at all. Never.
Hey, you know, the guy that we hear almost nothing about, it's probably because of his injuries, Ronald Tompkins out of Georgia. What have you heard, Nebraska signee there? He had huge offers. What have you heard about his rehab process, how he is health-wise coming in?
Yeah, the latest that I heard, and this was probably right at the beginning of the contact period, you know, the staff went down there, Sean Beckton went down to see him, spent some time in Grayson High School, was that his rehab was progressing as scheduled, right? That was basically the last I heard. He's an interesting guy that Scott Frost called out during the press conference, because he did, you know, kind of honestly say that had Ronald Tompkins stayed healthy and had the senior season he would have ended up having, it would have been really tough for Nebraska to hold on to him. So you know that Nebraska's getting a heck of a football player, and a guy that the coaches down at Grayson just rave about and say that they thought that he was the best athlete on that team before he got injured. That included, I think, double-digit Division I type players, including a few SEC players from that team. So Nebraska's getting a great player when healthy. We just have to see if he's actually going to be healthy and what kind of plan they deploy to get him ready to go.
Greg Smith is with us. He is taking his holiday cheer down to SEC country. Greg, what'd you think about the number of SEC region signees Nebraska had? And we asked Brandon this. I want your take. What do you make of no Florida commits?
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising. I mean, had you said, you know, last year at this time, hey, you know, they're not going to have any Florida commits, I would have told you were crazy, because I just didn't. I would have always assumed that this staff, with their ties in Florida, having been in Central Florida and the success that they had down there and how recognizable they were in the state, that they would get those guys. But it just didn't materialize. And part of the why behind that to me also actually might be linked to the early official visits. So if you think way back when last spring and summer when Nebraska, we were talking every day, it felt like, about how Nebraska didn't have any official visits to give out as other schools were having guys come in on early official visits. I think Nebraska would have liked to have been able to use some of those on those Florida kids to really pique their interest, but it just didn't materialize because they didn't have any to use. And then once you got to the end of the season, Nebraska was already far enough along with other prospects. So it was a surprise, but I think there's a reason behind that. I don't think it'll last. But otherwise, they did very well in SEC country, particularly Georgia, which we talk about quite a bit, which really feels like a state that Nebraska will try to do work in just because of the sheer numbers of talented prospects down there. They can't all go to Georgia.
Greg Smith is with us on Hail Varsity Radio talking Nebraska recruiting. Greg, compared to other staffs, compared to other programs, you look at Nebraska and what they're bringing in from an offensive line perspective, defensive line, secondary. their profile of player in terms of physical attributes seems so specific. Is it more specific than most programs, than prior staffs here at Nebraska?
Yes. I think that when we talked at first about this staff really not caring about rankings and that they were going to go after guys that they liked, I don't know that we knew just how much that would include a specific body type. And through conversations with different people on staff and different coaches on the staff, they really believe basically that they have is that we want length and athleticism, and then we'll let God and Zach Duvall handle the rest. Like, that is a thing that they all say. So they really like to have length in their recruiting classes, and you're going to see this team, I think, over the next couple of years really look a lot different because, as Scott Frost mentioned a few times now, and he mentioned something multiple times, you know that it's something on his mind, that he looked across the field and saw teams that look bigger than Nebraska. And if you look at, especially on the lines, where they were, what they got, guys, you know, 6'6 to 6'9 all the way up to with Bryce Benhart, you know that they're trying to change that, but it's not just the lines. You mentioned the secondary, and the guys that they have there, 6'3", 6'4", guys like Miles Farmer and Javen Wright, even guys like Nick Henrich, who's 6'3", 6'4", at that linebacker spot, they got a lot of length coming into this football team.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Now, let's look at some of the impact guys, some of the developmental guys. I think it's pretty obvious folks like Matt Anderson, probably Masai Newsome. There's a handful of guys that you probably won't see for a couple years. Just physically, they're not there yet. Outside of Wandale Robinson, who it seems like everybody expects for him to be an immediate contributor, outside of him, who are a couple guys that you think see the field significantly and are candidates not to redshirt this year?
Yeah, I think first I'll stick on offense and a guy that's another early enrollee, Jamie Nance. I think that Jamie Nance is a guy that'll come in and see some time on the field. But I wouldn't say that he's going to be a starter, because I always hesitate to say that guys are going to be a starter or, you know, log heavy snaps outside of Wandale. I feel pretty safe on that. But Jamie coming in early will help him a lot to get that winter conditioning and get up to speed on the playbook. But you just can't teach the speed that he has. And that's in addition to the fact that we got question marks about what's happening at wide receiver, right? We saw what happened with Mike Williams and Daron Woodry last year. So those are a couple of guys that are on the clock right now, as you have other guys at their position coming in right away. And then on the other side of the ball, I think just based on numbers, I think Nick Henrich and Jackson Hanna have an opportunity to come in and get some playing time early. In particular, Nick Henrich, you know, as long as his knee is healthy, he says that he'll be good to go for spring ball. He has an opportunity because they only have a couple of scholarship inside linebackers out there. And then another guy I would keep an eye on that will arrive in the summer is Quentin Newsome, the defensive back, also out of Georgia, who had a lot of SEC interest late in the process, but was really held strong with Nebraska. I think he's a super athlete that could really come in and give you something on that back end. And outside of the two corners that I feel like are entrenched in Lamar Jackson and DiCaprio Boodle, I think that there's some spots and some playing time to be had there.
Greg Smith on the road, a recruiting hit and post-signing day recon from Mr. Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV. Greg, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning, bud.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Thanks as always.
There he is. Okay. That's Greg Smith. A quick reminder, make that holiday run to Sauter Heyman, the most prestigious jeweler in the area. 70% off, never before savings like this. A total inventory liquidation sale. Don't wait. Your last-minute Christmas shopper, I hear you, SauterHeyman.com. South Point and Grand Island locations only. And get signed up for a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant, Mr. Kranak. Colton, Merry Christmas, brother. Happy holidays to you. We'll catch up with you at New Year. Well, next Saturday, actually.
That's right.
We'll be back on the 29th. Mr. Kranak, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, too, brother. Thanks so much for tuning in and spending time with us this morning on Hail Varsity. We'll talk to you next week.